Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask you to give wisdom today, give discernment, and help us to be prepared. Many catastrophes are headed this way, and we want to be prepared, especially by being under the Passover lamb. And we praise you, Father, for giving wisdom to your people to seek out and to be holy and to be in your will, so that they're in the secret place of the Most High. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right, I got something interesting to share with you here. Where is the enemy solar system? It's going to create the atmosphere for a wilderness situation for God's people. And I think it deserves some study. Our thanks to Donald Laughlin for keeping me up with this information. He sends me regular information on this, especially Dr. Sam's stuff. I don't make any claims to any of the religious leanings in these articles. I do not believe in aliens, but demons masquerading as aliens. I am only seeking information on Nibiru Planet X, and I'll leave the scientific conclusions to others who have more knowledge of astronomy. So I'll leave you with a couple of links here you can look at. But I'm hoping that you'll read the rest of the articles here before you look at them. So some people I know may be leaning towards error in this situation, especially when they're talking about dealing with aliens and so on. So from what we can make, Dr. Sam is an expert on where is Planet X, and he speaks Portuguese. And it's apparently being translated from Arabic. So here's a lecture by Dr. Sam on November the 6th, 2019. I think I shared part of this once before, but I'm putting it at the top of this list so we can get some perspective with the rest of what I'm going to share today. He said, "Good morning, lecture. In the name of God, the most merciful, a question comes to mind. When the planet comet passes inside the orbit of Jupiter, will it be that it moves at a regular or variable acceleration for us to calculate exactly the date of arrival? If we imagine the form of the solar system in our mind, we find that there exists our solar star, the sun, orbited by planets with orbits subject to hydrostatic equilibrium, in harmony with one another, and following the orbital movement of the torque of the sun around its axis in the anti-clockwise direction, to form a solar system integrated and complete. But if we introduce a celestial body with a certain mass, with an orbital movement towards the sun, this celestial body will cross spatially the orbits of all the planets by way of the distance and proximity of mass with each planet. Thus, it will be subjected to a kinetic obstruction that causes its acceleration to change constantly." So what he's saying is you can't predict exactly what time it's going to get here. You have to predict, along the path. So now this intrusive celestial body already has crossed vast distances of our solar system. Only Jupiter stood before it as a field incapacitating to the acceleration of the movement. But when it passes this orbit, it will be subjected to the influences of the gusts of the solar wind, which will cause a resistance according to the line of movement and inhibit its movement relatively. In other words, it depends on what it's coming up to and what it's passing and the forces that these have upon it, the planets, and so on and so forth, and the solar winds. At the same time, the solar winds will transform this dark, intrusive celestial body into a luminous body with a giant tail of plasma. And that's when he says, when it passes Jupiter, which we believe has happened. Therefore, it has some planetary orbits whose sums of their fields is passed by in front of its field. But the sun, with its anti-clockwise torque, will try to force this object to turn with its axial movement. In this way will be formed other obstacles in its path because, number one, its axial rotation is the clockwise direction, according to the data from Ussuriusk Observatory. And number two, the solar winds are moving towards the sun with an oval orbit, which is contrary to all the other planetary orbits. Acceleration, therefore, will remain variable, but at a slower rate than the acceleration behind Jupiter. And we cannot consider that it is changing the acceleration regularly. And for these factors, I say, it is necessary for the coming of the visitor from the heaven in our direction from 6 months at the minimum to 14 months at the maximum from the moment when it crosses the orbit of Jupiter. Okay, and of course the date on this was 11-6-19. Then, we as ordinary people, how are we going to be certain that it has exceeded this orbit of Jupiter? If we observe the rising incidence of occlusion and distortion from the month of seven until now in comparison with previous years, we will see that the differences are evident before us. During the past week, seven swellings or distortions of consecutive fields, semi-collapses, he calls them, and yesterday three intruder fluxes, very strong, causing a state of distortion of the field, which lasted 45 minutes. This distortions of our field are giving us signs that it's getting closer and closer. Which lasted 45 minutes, record time, with a velocity of field intrusion that exceeded the critical limit of 1,500 kilometers per second. Knowing that the Earth is orbiting away from it and the solar winds at the lowest levels and do not form a deformation of field because they are parallel to the magnetic field of the Earth. So, from where came these grave distortions? If this object was a thermal object, we would feel its high temperature on the Earth. But it is a giant magnet with strong force of field that causes defects in the field of any object that comes near it. And this in itself causes a total disequilibrium, as is happening now with the Earth. There's no way to explain, you know, the heating up of the planets, movement of the planets as it goes by, other than the fact that there's something big out there that has a strong effect upon the solar system. There's no other way to know this. So, he goes on to say, obviously no one will be able to disagree with this data except to recognize that this intruder is approaching more than ever. I expect in the next couple of months that instances of distortions, that is semi-collapses, will develop into cases of total collapse of the field of the Earth, even if the Earth is moving away. even though the earth is on the other side of the sun to it. I think that's in January. But this guest will not let the earth escape from its claws. And when the collapses happen, three within a week and continuously without pause, the mega Richter earthquakes hit the earth. And we can say that it exceeded the orbit of Jupiter to initiate the countdown. What is happening now is just a parallel unloading or discharge of what will come when the two associated conditions mentioned above are fulfilled. Gentlemen, I mentioned that I was going to stop my lectures, but only with the part theoretical, simply to let the part practical and scientific of the earth speak in its own language. I will continue these lectures up to the beginning of the months of occultation. After that, I will continue with you by means of commentaries in moments that require that I clarify. And I wanted to say that I am with you in every moment and will not leave the people until the last moment, if God wills it. I will face any deceptions or lies practiced by some to gain fame without scientific knowledge. What we need now is calm observation. The earth will not remain in silence and will tell to the young and to the old the time of arrival. In other words, you will know when it's about to fly by. In fact, you will know sooner than that because it passes portions of space that are aligning with us in such a way that it looks like maybe this spring and summer and next spring and summer will be two times of evidently a lot of earthquakes. And if communications, he goes on to say, are cut off, our senses will not stop and we will observe the sky because this heavy guest will announce for itself and will not wait so that anyone announces it, only the permission of the one who sent it. He who has the orders of the before and the after, that the peace be with you and the mercy and blessings of God. Okay, that's very interesting. And here's another one. Nibiru approaches and what to do? Run to the mountains? Okay. Well, you know, the Navy has spoken to their retirees and told them that they needed to retire to some place above 400 foot above sea level. And this is what they were thinking about when they said that. So there's going to be a lot of water, a change, by the way, of the equator. There's going to be a lot of water moving around. You know, I would suggest we'll get plenty of warnings leading up to that point. But people need to not only watch out for the tidal waves from the earthquakes, but also other things like the tilting of the earth and so on and so forth. It's going to cause an awful lot of water to go places it's never been before in, well, at least probably 3,600 years. Okay, what to do? Run to the mountains? This is January 25th, 2020. I looked up the last time Dr. Sam posted a SOHO, that's a solar and heliospheric observatory. It's an observatory in space between Earth's orbit and the sun's orbit that studies the sun and its atmosphere and its core and, of course, whatever it turns to take pictures of, you know, which is things around the sun. Okay, so I looked up the last time Dr. Sam posted a SOHO C2 image in one of his lectures to compare the two images 2 months apart. While the size doesn't appear to be much different, the tail in the first image goes up the side of the sun and is comparable to the tail in the latest image. This then, remembering what Dr. Sam said about the SOHO images, that they look at structure rather than size, and do this by making a dense object appear less dense. See his words below, it says. So, the images do not reflect on size or apparent closeness, but suggest that the Nibiru is real and is still approaching. And to verify the two images, I looked them up on ISWA, which is Integrated Space Weather Analysis System. And there they are a single C2 photo for each time, only one, November the 18th, 2019. And then he has a note here from January the 20th, 2020. So did Dr. Sam send to T.O. Abadam in Brazil the latest image, or did T.O. Abadam look it up for himself? I would suggest the former, and that this is another one of Dr. Sam's commentaries, even though in the video there is no written Arabic translated to Portuguese, which can then be further translated to English. We have to read between the lines. NASA and the secret government, he has in parentheses the swamp, that controls the U.S. government, the media, and NASA, and in fact all organization, not just space, has obviously ordered images of the Nibiru edited out of the SOHO images so the public is not to know. And only an image here and there escapes the electronic editing that is done at the Goddard Space Flight Center in Maryland, the United States. The Nibiru is there, all right, disappearing on the right side of the sun in the November 18th image, and appearing on the left side of the sun in the January 20th image, 2 months apart. While the Earth moves in her orbit and makes the sun appear to move through the signs of the zodiac in its annual circuit clockwise, the opposite of the anti-clockwise movement of the Earth around the sun and the anti-clockwise apparent movement of the zodiac. Meanwhile, Nibiru comes in consistently from the direction of Sagittarius and the galactic center in Sagittarius in its 3,600-year orbit of two suns. One of the characteristics of the SOHO probe through its monitoring fields, LASCO 2 and LASCO 3, that the probe shows that the objects of high density nebulous as a single object appears in the fields of monitoring without extensions in space. Only when this density diminishes to appear fragmented, as in the case of the appearance of our heavy visitor in the clear image below, which I don't have in the article here, but the link's here, you can go to it. They say that Nibiru grows in size and is approaching, and later appears in a second shot. So where did the big size go? Gentlemen, the appearance of this object in the fields of monitoring depends on 3 points. Number one, the surface illuminated opposite the field of monitoring. In other words, what's reflecting off of it, right? And number two, the inclination of the central core. And number three, the synchronization of movement between the field of monitoring and the object itself in the appropriate capture at the precise time by electronic integration. In other words, we see the moon in various phases, depending upon its illuminated surface. But the moon is a celestial body when it is in the phase of crescent moon, and it is the same when it's in the phase of the full moon. The same happens with Nibiru in the fields of monitoring of the probes. These fields are dedicated to the study of the formal structure of Nibiru and is not the proximity and distance with the Earth. For those who still do not know, the principle of the electronic integration has this example. The rearview mirror of the car can cover a certain angle behind. But if we put onto the surface of the rearview mirror a small mirror, satiny or convex, this mirror gives us a wider angle of vision when we look towards the same original rearview mirror. This principle is used by the SOHO when the field of monitoring covers the angle of approach of Nibiru with an angle of 360 degrees when filming the sun. The question of the appearance of Nibiru, large or small, is done to the three conditions above. The two images sent by Dr. Sam are true images and not photoshopped images. Nibiru is real and is approaching for its pass of the Earth and, of course, us. To finish on a more spiritual or contextual note, because Nibiru is indeed spiritualizing the Earth, raising its Schumann resonance, which mentally affects every living creature on the Earth, not just us humans, to put us into a different and much higher frequency range, according to the Archangel Aniel. Okay, I don't know about that, what he said or what not, but I do know that that from history that I've read, there is a frequency that is pushed upon us by Planet X that causes people to go crazy. Okay, Zen Tao, Answering Questions in the Wisdom of Ramallah, page 275. Again, I'm not going in any religious directions. I'm just looking for the physical facts here. You've talked about how these Earth changes will be a catalyst for evolution. Can you tell us if there are forces working against evolution, forces such as nuclear war, industrial pollution, ideological distortions of human consciousness, false messiahs, and so on? How can these be counteracted, and who are the beings that are behind them? Well, the history of Planet X flying by has a history of aliens visiting the Earth. They're obviously using this, example, and to influence the people of Earth and so on and so forth. And these are aliens. These are demons. Okay. One of the things that you must realize is that as you approach the time of what I call maximum salvation, you will also have a time of maximum temptation. Yes. Yes, it appears so. The two go hand in hand. Not saying I agree with any other religious ideas a person might have. I'm just pointing this out. The present world situation can be likened to a melting pot. As you melt gold or silver, so all the impurities come to the surface in the heat of the pot. The world is going through this process now, and all the impurities, all the imperfections of humanity on many levels are coming to the surface. Boy, I tell you, I don't know if it's owed to that, but there is some crazy people on this earth now. And boy, I mean, destroying multitudes of people is constantly on their mind. I mean, you can hear what the Democrats say all the time about locking these people up, destroying them, you know, on and on and on. You know, they're getting nuts. Therefore, there are present on the earth today many what you would call evil forces. Remember that evil is just alive, spelt backwards. Either you live or you are evil. These evil forces are sent here to further the human evolutionary cycle. Humanity must choose between living and evil living. Agreed. People go nuts. There is much evil coming to the surface at this time because the vibratory rate of the earth has been quickened in order to preserve its stability. Humanity, therefore, is faced with many tests, many choices, and not only in terms of nuclear war, of the pollution of the planet, of the false messiahs who will appear, of the financial decisions facing the world's institutions, but of every aspect of human endeavor. For every side or opinion that is presenting, that is present, there will be another side or opinion to oppose it. This, therefore, requires that you exercise the great gift of discrimination. It is how you choose and your motivation for choosing. What that, in essence, represents the sorting of the wheat from the chaff. Boy, I'm telling you, we're seeing it on a natural level and we're seeing it on a spiritual level. That God is definitely separating the tares from the wheat and the wheat from the chaff. There will be many who will follow the path of evil. But remember that you can walk to the gates of hell and still turn back. You follow a path only for as long as you wish to. There will be much suffering in the world, but no more than humanity can bear and understand. Many will not be touched by the plagues. For example, if you are a vegetarian and a great disease strikes the animal kingdom, destroying and polluting the animals that many choose to eat there for food, then you will not be touched by it. Well, we have something much deeper and stronger than this. This is all natural. The truth is we have a Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, who has already been slain. For those who believe that he bore the curse for us, that he already gave us his divine health, etc., etc. And if you don't believe that, I don't care what you eat, you're not safe. And if you live a life of sexual purity, you will not be touched by AIDS. If you are, well, maybe, this is not always true either, is it? If you are pure in body, mind, and spirit, you will not be touched by much of what is to walk the face of this earth. Okay, we're back to another article here. What are we going to do about all this, huh? Let me tell you, the rulers of this earth, they all know that this thing is coming. And they don't want to disrupt the earth prematurely by telling us it's coming. But here's an article. Nibiru, Dr. Sam. Emmanuel Macron calls on the USA and all countries to destroy Nibiru. I think that's the dumbest thing in the world. But anyway, and this was November the 13th, 2019. This really needs to stand alone, lecture in Arabic by the Israeli astronomer Dr. Sam, Portuguese translation thanks to Mohammed Najib, and posted to the internet in Brazil by Tio Abadam. Lecture by Dr. Sam, 11/10/2019. I leave you now with the translated text attached to the talk of Aziz Muhammad Abu Halima. The peace be with you and the mercy and blessings of God. Quote, the White House received on Tuesday an urgent diplomatic telegram affirming that the French government can use nuclear arms to destroy a celestial intruder, Nibiru, heading for the Earth, according to a source in Washington. Well, when I first got to this part right here, I thought, that's ridiculous. I mean, destroying Earth is one thing. Destroying Nibiru, which is a very, very dense, highly magnetic planet that is much bigger than the Earth, 7 to 10 times bigger than the Earth, according to what they're saying. It makes absolutely no sense that you could use all of the nuclear weapons and fire at it and have any success whatsoever. In fact, you might kill yourself doing it. Okay. He says that President Trump barely looked at the document before handing it over to his chief scientific advisor, meteorologist Kelvin Drogemeier, for further analysis. Our source said that the document was authored by Jean Yves Le Gall, president of the French National Center for Space Studies, CNES, and approved by Emmanuel Macron, whose handwritten signature appeared at the bottom of the summary. Le Gall warns that Nibiru is close to the perigee and will soon provoke cataclysmic effects on the Earth unless decisive measures are taken to alter its path or destroy it. Apparently, he discounted the first writing, quote, as our greatest scientists have ruled out moving Nibiru to terrestrial force no terrestrial force can move Nibiru. Agreed. Its magnetism, its power, its strength, Earth is nothing compared to it. And God himself is the one who's in control of it. So the only option left is to destroy it, they say. To destroy Nibiru before it potentially destroys life on the Earth. To achieve this objective, Le Gall suggests that France launch all of its nuclear arsenal at Nibiru, basing his opinion on an investigative study by the CNES classified in 2016, which states that a massive nuclear attack in the range of 66,000 kilotons must destroy Nibiru into trillions of harmless fragments, which would incinerate after atmospheric reentry. This is a theory, for goodness sake. And what if they don't get that small? I mean, he confessed in the telegram that all of the damage must occur simultaneously to explode Nibiru into pieces or push it off course. So all of these nuclear weapons have to be fired at this thing, and they all have to go off at the same time. And if you've misjudged anything, you're going to cause a catastrophe for Earth. And my own idea here is that this is total madness. Would we rather get shot with buckshot over taking our chances with a bullet flying by? A mile-wide piece of Nibiru would destroy planet Earth. Besides, Macron is a deep state enemy, and they would love the United States to denuclearize in a moment so that all the other nations can blackmail us into doing their will. See, it don't make a lot of sense. It's very, very stupid. I'm sure that our president is smarter than that. He admitted other questions as well. As France no longer has ground-based nuclear weapons, it counts on the ballistic missile M51 launched from the submarine, which has a range of 10,000 kilometers and can be equipped with up to 110 kiloton warheads. France has 290 warheads, or 31,900 kilotons, at its disposal, far less than the 66,000 kilotons, which Le Gall thinks will destroy Nibiru. In addition, France has only 4 nuclear ballistic missile submarines. The Triumphant class, each one equipped with 16 vertical launch tubes. So a simultaneous launch would hit Nibiru with only 7,040 kilotons, like a baby beating on an elephant, wrote Legall. Legall identified the deficiencies of his letter, but as it was written by him, not Macron, who simply endorsed it, Trump just passed it on to Drogmeier. Although Drogmeier is not the brightest lamp in the box, he realized that the French plan was crazy. That to use up to 10,000 nuclear weapons would not affect the planet Nibiru. Legall even audaciously solicited the help of Trump, said our source. I agree. It wouldn't do anything. I mean, you couldn't actually totally destroy and tear apart Earth if we all fired our nuclear weapons at one time. Oh, yes, it would destroy it, you know, the many things about Earth, but the ball of mud would still be here. So, anyway, he goes on. The telegram added, our source said that President Trump, as commander of the second largest nuclear arsenal in the world, ought to launch a simultaneous nuclear bombardment to coincide with the efforts of France. If the United States, France, and other nations that prefer survival to the destruction launch a colossal and unified attack, Nibiru certainly would not survive, speculated Legall. You know, again, you know, if you shot all of those weapons up there and radiated every piece of Planet X, and it's still doing its orbit, and all of these pieces are coming at you, all these radiated pieces are coming at you, what do you want raining down on the Earth? You know, not only asteroids big enough one could actually destroy the Earth, but all these radiated pieces falling upon the Earth. It's bad enough. Let the thing go by. I know there's some people say it's not going to go by. It's going to have a collision. But that's not true. We would not have a tribulation period if that happened. That's just crazy. It's not going to happen. We know what the Bible says is our future. And Planet X has a part in that future. And it's part of God's judgment upon the earth. He's not here to destroy his elect with this. He's here to destroy the wicked with this. It's obviously going to hang around a while. And we'll cover that in just a minute. So Legall said, please, President Trump, value the humanity over your own egotistical desires. The future is in our collective hands. Rise to the occasion. Be the man of principle, the man of conscience. The world knows that you are. I fully expect that you will win your White House in 2020, but will you, or any of us, be around when your term ends in 2024? We must destroy Nibiru, said part of the telegram. So the telegram ended with a threat, not so veiled. Without cooperation, France will act unilaterally. A small chance of salvation is better than none. No, it's not. It's crazy. It is not known if President Trump will respond. In closing, the overwhelming majority of Earth scientists say that to remove space stones of any size is a bad idea. Even if the ICBMs would reach and attack large asteroids or planetoids, some large fragments would inevitably tolerate the atmospheric entry and collide with the blue-green pearl that we call the Earth, causing greater destruction, perhaps, than an intact Nibiru will imperil. I agree 100%. That makes sense. This is crazy. Listen, you know that these deep state people are crazy. You're looking at them. You're looking at them on this, you know, trial for President Trump. You're looking at how crazy these people are. They're crazy. This guy's a deep state person. These are a bunch of baby eaters. Listen, I'm telling you, they are crazy. They just might do something stupid like that, but it wouldn't do anything but make things worse, for sure. They're demon possessed. What does the devil want to do? He wants to do what he can't do, and that's take out the whole earth. He wants to send everybody to his place, right? So don't trust people who are demon possessed. Anything they say has got to be wrong. Anyway, on. Let me go on. Nibiru. Dr. Sam, President Trump wants to send a manned spacecraft up to Nibiru. January 16th, 2020. Yep, I am not making this up. The Israeli astronomer Dr. Sam introduces an article that once again admits the Nibiru. It's an American article written in English, but I've put it through the third translation to keep the style and manner of speaking like the Portuguese translated by Muhammad Naguib. The article, in my opinion, merely confirms everything that Dr. Sam has told us about the Nibiru. There is nothing new to know in this planned trip from the United States to Nibiru in the reverse-engineered spacecraft. As you know, they have these, and they've had them for many, many years, these reverse-engineered spacecrafts that they inherited from the demons. So here's a commentary by Dr. Sam on January 15, 2020. In the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful, in monitoring of the latest developments, I chose this article only for your readings as a whole. The American Space Forces have started to operate. But where? A spaceship will be launched this year to explore Nibiru up close, to define how to deal with this heavy visitor. They do not spare much effort nor much money to provide means of survival. I leave the comments for you with many thanks to Aziz Muhammad Abu Halama for the translation. Follow link to the news. Okay, so then here's a link, and it's called thetwistedtruth.net. And it gives Space Force to survey Nibiru. And I'm going to make some comments at the end of this because there's some really wrong thinking in it. But I'm not negating the fact that they do have these flying saucers, and they've been flying them around, and people have seen them, and pictures have been taken of them, and so on and so forth. Yes, they do have them. And they're obviously beyond the ability of our science. They've been reverse engineered, you know, from these flying saucers that have wrecked. Okay. So it goes on to say, Space Force must inspect Nibiru. As the General J. Raymond was formally sworn in as an inaugural Chief of Operations of the Space Force, at a ceremony at the White House led by Vice President Pence, the engineers of the Tanopa Test Range finalized plans to send an alien spacecraft of reverse engineering on an historic mission to the Nibiru, with the objective of determining why the dark star and its planets in orbit have not reached the perigee, an event which should have been realized in 2012. That's not my thinking, that's theirs, okay? According to a Washington insider speaking on condition of anonymity. Well, you know, Dr. Sam has already explained why you can't, you know, judge where it's going to be and when it's going to be there because of its speeding up and slowing down, okay? So, since President Trump announced his intention to create a sixth branch of the armed forces of the United States, for which He was greatly ridiculed. Civil, military, and NASA engineers have worked tirelessly to complete the construction of an intergalactic spacecraft that supposedly is powered by a generator of gravity, which deforms the fabric of space-time. This non-linear mode of transport permits rapid travel between two points without violating the Newtonian physics nor the special theory of relativity of Einstein. Okay. The discussion over this method of transport is not new and was discussed for the first time in 1989 by Bob Lazar, a physicist with questionable credentials, which I believe are not so questionable now, who claimed to have worked briefly at the S-4, a secret subsidiary of the Nellis Air Force Base, Area 51 in Nevada. Lazar said he worked on a top-secret project that involved reverse engineering of a system of propulsion of circular craft, disks. Sports model. I don't know how that got in there, but in parentheses, sports model. His explanation of a ship which generates a wave of gravity that permits flight and avoids physical detection by bending the light around it, and it approaches the ship that the Space Force intends to send to Nibiru, if true, Lazar claims, will be justified. Well, I don't think we have to wait for that for them to be justified. I think people are seeing the thing flying around as they test it and all the things that they've done. I think they've seen it. When I was young, I saw a picture, I believe it was Popular Science, of the spacecraft. And it's never been put up since, but I saw the picture of it, the design look of it, and so on and so forth. According to our source, President Trump is deeply preoccupied with Nibiru and relies on the advice of the scientific consultant Kelvin Drogmeier, meteorologist by profession, to determine what threat, if any, that Nibiru represents to the Earth. Drogmeier and Administrator of NASA Jim Bridenstine said to Trump that the Nibiru system appeared to have stopped in space. Well, you know, let me say that our solar system isn't stopped in space. It's worming its way through space at tremendous speed. When they say stopped in space, I believe they're talking about in relationship to our solar system. But there's no such thing as stopped in space. Okay. They said optical visualization and radio frequency analysis provided inconclusive answers, and that a manned trip to the Nibiru system is necessary to determine if the celestial intruder will reach the perigee and cause untold damage on the planet. Well, I can tell you, it is going to do it. I don't think they need to send anything up there to find that out, but I don't doubt that they will do it. Trump told General Raymond that investigating the mysteries of Nibiru would be among the top priorities of the Space Force. He handed Raymond a structured plan that included the names of three handpicked astronauts for the mission, and said he wanted the spacecraft on its way to Nibiru systems by the third quarter of 2020. It is expected that the spacecraft will make the journey of 160 million miles in less than 16 hours. A milestone, yeah, I would say so, for astronomical travel. Okay, you definitely have to warp space, right, to do that. It will approach, and people have said, and people have visualized and seen this thing go so fast, it was impossible for any jet or anything to even approach it whatsoever, you know. So it's extremely fast. And, of course, I don't know if it's using all of its speed inside the solar system or not. Anyway, It will approach 15 million kilometers from the brown dwarf, moving away from the twin tails of Nibiru, which contain trillions of micrometeorites and impenetrable clouds of red iron oxide dust, and will collect imperative astronomical data to prove or disprove a scientific belief of long standing that Nibiru will come sufficiently close to the Earth to strike it with meteorites. Well, according to history, the Nibiru passes over the orbit of Earth, and Earth passes through the tail of Nibiru. And of course, if you exploded it, it would go through a lot larger portions than microscopic dust, and evaluate whether its impressive magnetic field is sufficiently powered to fracture the Earth or cause irreparable changes of geomagnetic and geophysical poles that can tear the Earth in pieces. Well, to some extent, it's evidently going to do that because we have a history of it doing that. So, anyway, if the information is accurate, the USA now possesses an extraterrestrial-inspired vehicle that not only will command the domain or area of space, but also will give it a decisive advantage over its terrestrial adversaries. Since it seems certain that the militaries will exploit the technology for platforms or of weapons development, regardless, there exists a chance of 0% that the government will share its discoveries with the public, since it has tried with limited success to hide the existence of the harmful solar system for nearly 40 years. Yes, and I would say they don't know the effects on any spacecraft as it approaches a Planet X, and or the brains of the people, what's going to happen to them if they get scrambled while they're flying towards Planet X. So there's just so many variables here that who knows what's going to happen. They just might lose their spacecraft. So anyway, this is from myself. I was addressing this article. President Trump wants to send a manned spacecraft up to Nibiru, 1/17/2020. And I said, other articles here explain how they are fighting with Anunnaki, which I'm calling demons, and getting slaughtered. Well, you can bet on it. And anything that you do that's able to affect them is probably just in the line of them deceiving you, right? Putin is said to have told Trump that they lost a whole platoon like this. And there's the article right there. I ain't saying if it's true or not. Many, many people have seen these demons. I've got articles on our site that aliens are demons and why they're subjective to Christians who speak the name of Jesus, which I have personal friends who have been down there with the demons and have said that they obey the name of Jesus and that they forbade them to speak the name of Jesus in their underground bunkers where they so-called have these aliens. I mean, I'm talking about people who have been there and seen it and so on. But President Putin said that the Russians, had lost a whole platoon like this. There's an article there. Again, don't give me no credit for this article. You might ask, well, David, do you believe this? And my answer is, it really doesn't matter. Whoever believes it needs to know that Jesus is the only one who has authority over the demons, which I explain are the Anunnaki, and that demons manifested in the appearance of a body are like the angels in the Bible who appeared in the appearance of a body, of a physical body. And then I put an article here that I have that aliens are demons. So you can, I don't think I'm going to have time to go through that, but you can look at that and see for yourself if you agree with that. And my thought is nothing would unite the world into a covenant better than a war from space. I mean, you can see what Macron, you know, this demon-possessed man, wants to do. He wants all the nations to come together against the enemy, right? Ha-ha! Okay. Well, this is not new. Is this a great delusion to bring about the covenant? Enforce the covenant? We can use this to get the gospel out anyway, can't we? So, I wrote this article to the author of the articles concerning the aliens, and I basically was putting my hook in the water to see if I could get a bite, you know. And so I addressed him, and here's the article. I said, Michael, be patient with me while I share what we have been doing. The Anunnaki have infested every nation. We have fought them for many years. They cannot be beaten with physical weaponry, which, of course, they're talking about. Putin is talking about the weaponries that they've got in order to try to defeat these creatures. I said angels in the Bible had the power to manifest in physical-looking bodies. Fallen angels have ruled the deep state, and the guy might even be deep state, I don't know, have ruled the deep state for many years because they sacrificed to Satan. They were invincible until God gave his people the wisdom to pray against them. Then God began to send warring angels to destroy their works. I'm trying to make this simple so that he could understand it, right? These warrior angels have appeared to us to offer their services, and we send them against the Anunnaki, and they win every time. That we are in right standing with God. Of course, that counts, right? You can't just send demons and angels against demons unless you're walking with the Lord. They don't have to appear in bodies and prefer not to except for deception purposes. Putin is wasting his time and money. They are playing with him. They can, if God permits, wipe out his entire army. He has alienated the deep state, who has witches in all of the earth, and call upon the fallen angels to war for them. The warrior angels will work for knowledgeable Christians who believe the word. And then I gave Hebrews 1 and 13 and 14. But of which of the angels hath he said at any time, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation? So this just gives him an idea who's got authority over his aliens. Okay. And through this method, we are beating the deep state, and they will be destroyed. Putin nor Trump have this knowledge. We talk to God every morning, and he gives us instructions on how to send the warrior angels to defeat the enemy. Real Christians have authority over their power. Luke 9 and 1. And he called the 12 together, and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Luke 10, 17 through 20. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon the serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, In this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And Mark 16 and 17. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. The name is Jesus. They must bow to it when spoken by a real Christian. These demons have powers above the physical. One angel killed an army of 185,000 men when Sennacherib's army came against Jerusalem. One angel cast the head demon, Anunnaki, Satan, into the pit in Revelations. They cannot stand up to the angels sent by godly people. Yesterday they were taking emails out of my computer. As I watched them, I commanded them to put them back, and they immediately did. I mean, this really did happen. I mean, I was sending out emails, and sometimes I send them to myself, and of course they come back into my box. And I was watching, and I noticed it didn't come back into my box. And while I was looking at this, I saw corrections that we had sent out to the brethren. You know, we've been asking the Lord for corrections through dreams and visions and revelations and getting them. And the Lord has been sanctifying the body through these little corrections. And it's working quite well. And we are very blessed. The Lord is getting us ready here. So anyway, as I was looking at it, I had these, actually red flags on these things too, because we had sent them out to others and I was keeping them, you know. And as I was looking at them, they disappeared. And we've run across this before when the demons that are sent out by the faction to attack our equipment, we actually had... experts beam in and work on or look at our computer and become confused. And we basically have told them, well, we're going to stop and we're going to pray now. So we stopped and prayed. And when we prayed, everything changed right back. And the experts said, well, that worked because they didn't have an answer. You know, everything, the demons can affect things that are physical. All the time they do that. And so you have authority over them. So I pointed my finger at the computer after these, actually it was groups of dreams, you know, sent out to different people. I pointed my finger. I said, now, Satan, you put that back and you do it right now in the name of Jesus. And suddenly, poop, they were right back in there. Just remember, they can mess with your equipment, but you have authority over them and the equipment that they use, too. So I was telling him this, you know, and I commanded him to be put back, and they immediately did. The day before that, they had taken over a group of Christians, and I commanded them to come out, and they did. Because we have all authority over them through faith in God's commands. And I said to him, hope this gets to the people who think that they are defending this country. Meaning, of course, the people who think that they can handle these demons too. Well, I didn't receive an answer, but I'm sure I sowed the seed anyway. And God is so good, so good. You know, he is... we can use everything, you know, to get the gospel, but we have to be weak to the weak to do that. And we have to, meet them where they are, so to speak. Okay. I'm going to share something else with you that I think probably would be very good. We got this from Ken Dewey. Ken Dewey has prophesied some things about a Red Sea destruction in the United States, and especially against the deep state government. that was very much parallel to what we were talking about. So we paid attention to some of the things, and this was sent to me. I'm going to share it with you. And Ken wrote, "Brace for impact, a most serious warning." This morning, January the 19th, 2020, I woke up dreaming about brace for impact. I heard over and over the words, brace for impact. It was like a warning coming over the radio communications of an airplane that was flying too low and was about to crash. He said it was like that, you know. Then the Lord said, "Get up and pray and wake up Celeste and pray together." So he said, I went and got her up. I said to her, "The Lord says we must pray," and told her, brace for impact is what I am hearing. He said to me while I prayed, pray in tongues. I did. And as I prayed in tongues, I heard this: the impact will reveal to the world who I am and who they are who seek to destroy me. Oh, well, let me say that this faction movement is seeking to destroy God. Whatsoever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. These are persecutors of the Lord Jesus. They crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh. There is a destruction coming to them. And not only that, but all of the religious system out there that has replaced the Lord's kingdom, which is written in the Bible, which we can't add to or take away from without bringing a curse upon ourselves, according to the last four verses of the Bible. These are people that are destroying him and his kingdom. You remember the Apostle Paul was one who was destroying. He was very religious, and he was one who was destroying the kingdom. And he basically rebuked the Apostle Paul for, you know, his persecuting him. And anyway, I'm going to go on. For those who are presently living in Washington, D.C., you must know you have been warned before many times. Flee from her if you can, for it may be too late. That's it. He has that in brackets. If you can, for it may be too late is in brackets. I saw many buildings falling down. He's seen that before there. He then talked about earthquakes, and I said, where? I saw the shaking from the west coast to the east coast, and all was shaking in between. Now, I want to say that this is not the progression. This is the scope. It's, in other words, from one side of the country to the other side of the country. This is what he's saying. He's not talking about the progression. I'm going to tell you the progression is going to go from the east coast to the west coast. So he's talking about the scope of this shaking. Many buildings will fall down. Many will perish. I have warned them to flee the coming earthquake. And it is a corporate earthquake. It's actually an earthquake that's going to go around the earth as the earth turns, as it faces Nibiru. It's going to go around the earth. Eve Brast had a dream of seven major earthquakes that go around the globe. And this makes sense because as the globe turns, of course, Nibiru is approaching. And so it causes an earth tide is what it causes. And this earth tide is actually moving the earth much like a tide moves the water. And, of course, all their underground cities are in danger, and all the people that go down there and hide are in danger, and all so on and so forth. They can't. They try to make them strong enough to withstand Nibiru, and I don't believe it's possible. And I think it's part of God's plan to give us a brief period of peace while we are awaiting the beast to make war on the saints in the middle of the tribulation period. And this is good. So I continue with Ken's revelation here. He said, I've warned them to flee the coming earthquake, and now it's too late. While I heard these words, Celeste wrote down the following words, and I heard them too. Open your ears, people. Hear when I say the time is near, very near, that disaster will strike, and all will know that I am God. I am the one in charge, not them, not the government, he has in brackets here. Keep your eyes on me, turn away from them, in brackets he has, the government. They hold no promise for a future, only me, yes. And I want to tell you, if you want to see Trump destroyed, just glorify him before the Lord, because the Lord has a way of knocking down idols. You want to make sure that you understand that Trump is just a vessel that God can use. And by the way, he can use donkeys. He proved it in the scriptures. So, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from President Trump. I'm so glad he's president. And he's a very smart man. But he's not smart enough to do what needs to be done. The Lord has to put that in him, and he is doing it. So praise be to God. Only me, he says. Trust in me only. Yes, no methods. I mean, listen, the elite have spared no expense at your expense and my expense. They've spared no expense in making their underground cities and fortifying them to prepare for Nibiru. And it won't work. So even if you had all that money and all these people working for you, you still need God. He says, trust in me only. Yeah, I agree 100%. Very soon, righteousness and truth. This is what matters. Hold on tight. Brace for impact. This must stop. This country will not survive if it does not. I must do something to help. They try me over and over. It cannot continue. Many will see me in this as the bad guy. But I must stand up for my people. It has gone on long enough. Enough is enough. Trust in me. In the place of much darkness, truth will arise. Yes, amen. Let's see, I think he added something to this down below here. I write this word in obedience and report it to you as I've heard it this very morning. That's Prophet Ken Dewey. Okay. So, like I said, he's had other that was perfectly along parallel lines to what we were sharing about the Red Sea and so on and so forth. And so we've watched and listened. Okay, so what do you think? This crazy idea, which I think is coming from a bunch of demons, to think that they can blow this thing away, even when it has hit planets in the past. Tiamat is supposedly a planet which formed the belt, which was the destruction of a planet that was hit by Planet X, slowed Planet X down enough to where it had to go around the sun several times before reaching breakaway speed so that it went forth into space. So what is slowing it down now? If they think it is slowing down to the speed of, say, our solar system hurtling through space, what is slowing it down now? Why would it slow down now? Well, when we read the book of Revelation, we see effects of something like what Planet X has done in the past, but it goes through the entire 7 years. And into the great and terrible day of the Lord. Well, if God wanted to create a wilderness for God's people to go into, of course, He can bring this planet around at this particular time and force a covenant because they've got the funny idea that they're fighting with aliens that can be beaten, and force a covenant through that. And then, of course, show them that they can't beat this enemy. And also the craziness that turns the whole earth back over to these crazy people that you're watching in the government and in religion, the faction. What's going to happen? Well, this thing has a habit of turning people crazy. It's written for thousands of years back that it did this when it passed through. So here we see a craziness that nobody can explain. Politicians are laughed and dumbfounded at the stupidity of these demon-possessed people that are opposing them. They don't know about demons, and they've never seen anything like this. And if we hadn't have gone through the exact same thing with the crazies that came against us with all their lies and accusations of doing things that they themselves were doing. Look at it. We recognized immediately who the demons were behind this when it started, because we'd already been dealing with them since 2011. Yes, I wasn't joking when I was saying that we're dealing with the Anunnaki and we've been doing it. You know? Of course, people of the world, they have to see something. We don't have to see something. We can do spiritual warfare against an enemy we don't see and we don't have to see. Although we do see them. We see the angels here all the time. And we've seen the demons who are coming against us. We've seen them. And that's just a discerning of spirits that God gives to His people, or a word of knowledge and wisdom, or a vision, you know, that He gives to His people to attack the enemy, or to defend from the enemy. So, I think that everybody needs to do what we've been doing. You know, let me say this. I think it was Eve that had a dream recently that she and many other people were trying to get the bride ready for the marriage. Seeking to get the bride ready for the marriage. And at that particular time when the marriage was to begin, I came to Eve and I told her of people who had died, basically. And it was the faction. On the day that the bride was prepared and ready for the marriage, and the marriage was actually happening, they died. Now, what is it? What are these people? What is their purpose? Their purpose is to get the bride ready to meet the Lord. That's their purpose. That's what they do. Are they vessels of honor? No, they're vessels of dishonor. They do the same thing that the demons do in attacking God and His people. This enemy has caused God's people to be very careful in dealing with one another, that they don't permit any criticism, unforgiveness, which opens the door to these demons of faction and witchcraft to come in and take them out, because God will not permit this evil amongst His people to take them out. And so in this way, they are preparing people to meet the Lord. What can you do that we've been doing here, by the way? We've been asking the Lord for dreams and visions and words and so on and so forth to bring correction to each one of us individually. So that, I mean, God's people love correction. It's the fool that won't take correction, the Bible says. God's people love correction. I ask all the time. I'll get my Bible. I said, Lord, correct me. I flip the Bible up and stick my finger down. And once in a while, I get a correction. Overwhelming majority of times, I get something positive. You just, in other words, just exercise your faith. Just keep exercising your faith, right? So, you know, you can do that. You want to be sanctified? You want to be corrected by God? Well, first thing you need to do is get in the Bible. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. You can be corrected by God just by doing that. That's what we should do. We're looking for sanctification. Sanctification is the act of taking correction, changing your mind, repenting, right? So you can do that yourself. You can go get your Bible, ask the Lord to correct you. If it goes into condemnation, you've gone too far. The devil will take any correction and make condemnation out of it. And that's totally useless because there's no faith involved there. And you're not going to overcome, you see. So it has to be for the purpose of you loving to be pleasing unto the Lord, you desiring to be sanctified of anything that's displeasing unto him, and that you use this, you use this. Not let the devil use this, you use this in order to sanctify yourself, to make any corrections in your path that need to be made. And God is so good. You know, he wants us to accept correction. He wants us to study the Word every day to make corrections and readjust our path, so to speak. And here, of course, there's a warning, you know, that I just shared, in which we need to pay attention. Destruction is coming. The Lord is warning us that it's coming. And through this, of course, we can, you know, take warning and take correction and change our course, so to speak. So, Father, we ask you, Lord, to move on the brethren out there that don't have the advantage of what we've been doing here locally. We've fasted. We've prayed recently here. Had quite a good move of the Spirit. Had a few, you know, attacks from Satan, all of them in which he lost, because we do send out the warrior angels. And they do take down the works of the enemy. And we thank the Father for doing that. And but you out there, you can ask the Lord to correct you. If you're not paying attention to the written word of God and obeying what you see there, you're not accepting correction. And we're warned in the last four verses of the book not to add to God's word, which is what we do when we do it our way, and not to take away from the words of the book, which we do when we do not accept correction. And if we're not accepting correction, we're very foolish at this time of history. There is a disaster heading our way. There's no doubt about it. The government knows it. They're trying to deal with it while they keep it secret so that people don't panic. This is the biggest disaster the world has seen in probably 3,600 years. So we suggest that you seek the Lord for correction. Ask him to correct you and tell him that you want to be obedient to everything his word says. It's the only protection. If you go and read Deuteronomy 28, you see that by rebellion against his word, the curse comes upon you. There's nothing you can do to stop it. It's ordained of God. Read Deuteronomy 28. You'll see that God claims the authority to bring this curse on rebellious people. And so, you know, when you see people out there under the curse and being rebellious, there is a cure. It isn't to go find a drug that will take care of the problem, because it won't take care of the problem. You'll still die. Or it isn't to, have more money, or it isn't to spend your money to protect yourselves or store up food or any of these things. There's only one thing that can get you out from under the curse: obeying God. And how can you obey God? Well, you walk by faith in Him. By faith, you accept the obedience of Christ. You accept the reconciliation that happens at the cross. You accept the fact that you don't live anymore, that Christ lives in you. Your faith will bring His power on the scene. The gospel is the power of God to save the one that believes it. You know, read our book, The Real Good News. Read the book, The Real Good News, or listen to it on our site. The gospel is great. It's the power of God to fill you when you walk by faith in the good news that Jesus took away your sins and He gave you His life. This is how we come under the Passover lamb. This is how we have a Passover of the curse. The Egyptians looked up there and they said that was the destroyer. The name that they give to Nibiru. They looked up to see the destroyer passing over. And guess what? God had a solution. And the solution was the blood of the lamb. How do you apply the blood of the lamb? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, which is the light of His word, we have fellowship one with another. And He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Okay, so the blood is applied by repentance and faith. Repentance and faith causes us to have a Passover of all plagues. We've talked a lot about the plagues, and there is a monstrous plague out there right now. It's probably been invented in a laboratory, and it's walking across China at this time. I think 13 cities have been locked up, from what they're saying. And they expect in just the next few days over 250,000 deaths. And this disease that's marching across the planet, flying to different nations, it's already in this nation. It's already in many, many nations of the world. It's the worst thing that's come along. And we may talk about this a little bit more in the future, but hey, you need a Passover lamb to escape the plagues that are passing over. And they'll pass over you. They'll still take out the Egyptians, but that's a warning, and that's a threat from the Lord. So we just ask that you seek the Lord and ask Him to bring correction into your life, that anything that's contrary to Him, you're willing to give it up. Give it up. And if you're not willing to give it up, you may not survive what's coming. Right? Walk in the light as He is in the light. And the blood of Jesus will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So do this. Seek the Lord. Ask Him for correction. You know, if you just read your Bible, that's a good way. And if you, ask the Lord by flipping the Bible open and asking for a word, and you got faith to do that. Some people don't have faith to do that. They don't believe in it. Well, then don't do it. Don't bother. You know, but if you have faith to do that, flip it open by faith after you prayed to the Lord and ask Him to give you something that will be constructive in bringing correction to you. And He'll do it. Didn't He say, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them? Yeah. So is this all things? Yeah, this is one of all things, obviously. Some people say, no, you can't do that. No, they don't know what they're talking about. All things whatsoever. If you ask the Lord for correction, He's going to give you correction. And sometimes He may think that you don't need correction. You just need some faith, so He'll give you a good promise from Him, you know, to exercise your faith in. Some corrections are very easy to make because the only thing you need to do is exercise faith. All right? We're not here to pick ourselves up by our bootstraps, right? We can't save ourselves. We need the power of God. He is the only one that can cleanse us of all unrighteousness, a great promise. In 1 John chapter 1, 7 through 9. Great promise. So, I suggest that you, at this time, begin to make corrections. Also, you need to warn your loved ones and tell them what's coming. Yes, they may think it's crazy, but they may also open their mind enough to where they'll do a little research. They won't get anything from the mainstream media. They're making sure of that. So, they need to do a little research and find out what's coming at them. And the Lord says, when this thing is passed, everybody's going to know that God did it. And because nobody's, I mean, they say there's no atheists in a foxhole. And I think there's truth to that, because when people are threatened with an overwhelming threat that man can do nothing about, they quite often turn to God, even if they say they've been an atheist all their life. You know, they turn to God. Well, I'm expecting a lot of people to turn to God through the earthquakes, through the volcanic activity, through the plagues, through all these things that are now coming upon the world. And I'm expecting a great revival, people being motivated, highly motivated, because of these troubles. They say the fastest growing nation as far as turning to Christ is Iran. And I've been studying it and reading about it. We've supported missionaries that are going into Iran. And they've told us about it. And we can't say too much because the underground church that is in Middle Eastern nations is always under threat. They, of course, lose their life in a Muslim nation if they're found doing these things. But Iran is exploding with local Bible studies. Well, I wouldn't say Bible studies, but because there's not a lot of Bibles there. The Bibles need to get in there. The knowledge needs to get in there. Most of these are prayer meetings, from what I'm understanding. Most of them are prayer meetings, and they don't really have a lot of knowledge of the Word, which we're working towards that now, to get materials in there to them. And so, you know, and it's because there's a lot of trouble there. They've got a bunch of criminals ruling over them in Iran. The average Iranian does not agree with these criminals. Of course, they don't say it very loud because they'll lose their life. But the average Iranian is not even against Americans and not against Israelites either. In fact, they're kin to the Israelites. They're Shemites. They're not Arabs. And they'll tell you that quickly. These are the Persians. They're kin to the Israelites. And they don't really, the average Iranian does not. And I mean, you've got a very small percentage of the country that are the criminals that rule, kind of like it is in Marxism and the way it is in communism. A few criminals get in authority, and they rule over all the rest. Right. Thank God we're being cleansed of the criminals who had the military, and more and more, the military is submitting to President Trump more and more, and but they know they're being ruled over by a bunch of criminals. They don't want their laws on them, burdening them, Sharia law, etc. They don't want all that. They want freedom. They like Americans and they like Jews, and so on. And so now Christianity is exploding there because these people do want freedom. They do have to hide out and do it. Let me tell you, when people have to hide out and study the Bible, that's when it grows. It grows. Christianity grows. If the persecution was gone, it wouldn't grow. The persecution's there for a purpose, and it'll grow as long as the persecution is there. What they need to do is get the gospel out, get the good news out. And I believe that there's a lot of people working to that end right now. And we praise you, Father, for doing this. We ask, Lord, that you also, as so many Muslims are finding Jesus, the Son of God, through dreams and visions and revelations. And Father, we pray that you, in your sovereign works, would move with dreams and visions and revelations on these people, because they are quick to receive the gospel, far quicker than anybody in this country. They are quick to receive the gospel. They are so tired of the burden of the hatred and the warfare that's going on among Islam, that they're glad to turn to Christ. They hear the gospel and they run to Jesus. It's an extraordinary thing. I know a lot more than I can say publicly. Let me say that concerning this. And I'm just thanking God for what I'm seeing. I'm thanking God for what I'm seeing. Thank you, Father, for the victory. Thank you for setting the captives free. Thank you for opening the prison to them that are bound. You know, all your Isaiah 61 wording there, that you're coming to do this, Lord, and we thank you for it. The Man-Child Ministry will once again start with Isaiah 61 in setting the captives free and the opening of the prison to those that are bound. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for what you're doing, not only in our lives, but in the lives of our brethren who are still in the world and would love to know you, the Prince of Peace, not that murderous dictator demon that rules over them. We ask you in Jesus' name, Father, let them know peace. They've been taught and trained from youth to be antagonists. But, Lord, they would love peace and love. Love is extremely powerful among these people because they've never known it. It's powerful. And once they get converted, they make the best of Christians. And I thank you so much, Father, for what you're doing in the Middle East as far as turning many, many Muslims' souls over to Christ. Thank you for this mighty move of the Spirit. And, Lord, concerning this planet that's coming, that is only coming to do your will, when Jesus passed through, he had the destroyer on a leash. He said, I will not allow him to come into your houses when I see the blood on the doorpost. This destroyer is completely on the leash of the Lord. He won't permit it in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you will spare those and you will give them time to come to know you, who will turn to you if they're wasting all of their time and efforts in being a curse on this earth. Of course, you may take them out. But if they're redeeming the time towards you and learning of you and in growing in you and in manifesting your life in them, your love in them, then they're redeeming the time and you will give them the time. I believe that. So, Father, we thank you for doing that. We thank you for turning the lives of multitudes and multitudes. Lord, I see this coming of Nibiru as an opportunity. The earth is scared, and rightly so. And a lot of Christians are scared, and rightly so. But I see this as an opportunity for the gospel to go forth to people who are in desperate need. And when they find out that their government can't save them from this, and they will, you know, just as the prophet just said there, when they find this out, they'll turn to you, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that you make us all useful at this particular time. Yes, I know that the plagues, which I think will probably be a cocktail of plagues that the deep state is going to release on this country, I believe that this will drive many to you. Some even on their deathbeds will come to you. And some will be resurrected from the dead. And I think that there's going to be a lot of this resurrection of the dead, of people that have turned to you on their deathbed, knowing they're going to die. And that some of them you will give more time on this earth. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray again for the gospel to reach into every nation, and that you convert people in every nation, even in the dangerous nations for Westerners to enter into to bring the gospel. You are not bound. And we thank you, Father, for that. We ask you, Lord, to go in and bring converts. We have examples of our books being passed out and multiplied as they were being passed out. The books that were not even there being multiplied and being passed out. We have examples of God doing that. We have examples of Him preserving our materials through fires where everything in the building burned except our materials. So God, when you preach the gospel and you share the word of God, it's not you, it's God. If you know, we don't want to add anything to God's word, and we do work diligently to preserve it. It has a power of its own to be preserved. We thank you, Father, for doing this, Lord, in a mighty move of your Spirit, that you will take our books that are full of the gospel into nations where they forbid the Bible even. But where these books can go, and will go, we ask you to multiply them around the earth. We ask you, Lord, to help us to get together everything as far as materials wise we can do to be prepared for this great ingathering, this great revival, this great deliverance for your people who are still in the world. And your people who have fallen away and into the world, but know about you. Lord, we pray that this will be useful in their lives to bring them back to you and to search out discipleship. They were lured by the world, as in the parable of the sower. They were lured by the world and worldly living and the pleasures of sin for a season, into turning away from you, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that you put the fear of God in them. Lord, there are many religious people who claim Christianity, but they have no fear of God. They do not bend when they hear the scriptures. The faction has no conscience whatsoever, and they don't bend to the scriptures at all. And yet, Lord, even some of these on their deathbed, you know, from a plague or from earthquakes or whatever, can turn to you, and we ask, Lord, that you do a mighty work on their behalf, Father. We seek you, and we ask earnestly that this revival continue to spread throughout the earth. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you for using us in our little way, you know, to reach out and touch people, Lord. We want to see souls saved. And not only that, we want to see them sanctified. Saved is one thing. Sanctified is better. Without sanctification, no man shall see the Lord. That's what your word says, Lord. So it's not just getting saved and having a born-again spirit. It's getting saved and having a born-again soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And this is what bearing fruit is. The fruit of your born-again spirit must be spread throughout your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And that's why you study the Word every day, in order to get the Word down in your heart, be transformed. He spoke to Christians. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We must have the mind of Christ. It is the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing for us in delivering us from evil and in setting the captives free and in opening the prison to them that are bound. Thank you, Father, for doing it, Lord, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we praise you and we thank you. And we ask, Lord, for your grace to go throughout the earth as we send the gospel forth in other languages and things. We ask, Lord, that you use this for your glory. Lord, we thank you for bringing down in Muslim countries these criminal regimes that are ruling over the people with law and legalism and merciless ways. And they won't touch those laws with their little finger. They're all a bunch of perverts and liars and thieves. But woe unto you if you cross them. They're just like the Pharisees of old. And Jesus rebuked them for the same thing. There's nothing worse than a religious leader who wants to impose their religion upon you. Lord, we ask for freedom, you know, for your people whom you have foreknown from the foundation of the world. We ask for their freedom. We ask, Lord, that the gospel get into their hands. We ask, Lord, that, for instance, those Iranians there who don't have Bibles, that you will get those Bibles to them. In the name of Jesus, and throughout the earth where the word needs to be heard. Not just accept Jesus, but the word of sanctification needs to be heard. And Lord, we thank you for a mighty, mighty move of your spirit. We are so happy with what you are doing, what we find out that you're doing, the great witness and testimonies that are going forth. Father, we ask that you fill your people, those in Iran who have, quote, accepted Jesus or some other term where they've got a born-again spirit, Lord, we ask that you get your word into their hands so that they may be sanctified and that they may be witnesses unto you, Lord, and that they may know the provision that you have of a Passover, because many of them fear the hierarchy of these criminals over them. And Lord, but you have a Passover. You have a protection for them. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, Father. Well, God bless you, saints. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Please keep us in your prayers, as we will you. And I suggest that you seek sanctification. It is the way of deliverance from these things that are coming upon the world. Amen. All right. Thank you and God bless you. Good night.